Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, we want to thank you, Isaiah, as you do each and every time we come on these airways, introducing me when I do my particular show and hosting here on Blog Talk Radio. And we want to thank 47,000 plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on Home Based Business 101, truly making this listener supported radio. Got a lot we want to cover today, and got two gentlemen on here going to be able to be on here. One's going to be able to be on for about 10 minutes, and then Brother Cliff is going to be able to be on for the duration of the show. And so what we want to do is go ahead and dive into our show and our content for the day. First, we have Mr. David Murphy, who's this show is part of what we broadcast for him, the National Black Unity News Show, in which we cover news and events that affect us as African-American people. And yesterday, David, you had an event at the Nialis Restaurant, and the mayor showed, and quite a few people showed up for that event. Could you give us a quick summation of how that event turned out and, you know, what you expect to hope to see as outcomes of that event?
Okay, fantastic. First, I want to give thanks and honor to God for, first of all, just being here and having the opportunity to speak to your listening audience. And I also want to thank you, sir, for, you know, continuously being on the front line in the battle of freedom. And I also want to say hello and welcome to another one of our guests, a long-term soldier, Brother D. Cliff. And, you know, this brother been on the front line as well, you know, fighting the battle not only locally but internationally as well. And, yes, we did have a networking event yesterday, and we have not held one in some time now because due to a lot of issues dealing with the staff members, you know, myself included. You know, we've been through the fire. You know, we had all types of illnesses and deaths and all sorts of things that have taken place since we started this, the National Black Unity News. But I'm pleased to say no matter what happened to us personally, the publication has already always came out and pretty much on time. And I'm truly grateful for the staff, the editors, our advertisers, our subscribers, because without them, this would not have happened. And we had a networking event where we usually invite the participants in the publication, as I just mentioned, the editors, contributors, advertisers, and a special guest that came in. And because we're always willing to open our door to the larger community because, you know, we had work to be done. And the National Black Unity News is a collaboration of independent and individual business owners. And we all come together for a sole purpose of helping to not only unite our people, but provide concrete solutions to our constant problems that we face pretty much on a daily basis. And we had quite a few people showed up yesterday. And as always, I'm extremely pleased because the guests had opportunity to introduce themselves. Everybody in the room had pretty much had the opportunity to introduce themselves as well as tell people what they do and how to get pretty much how to get in contact with them. And, you know, I'm impressed because we are a resourceful people and we cover so many different areas of expertise that I was so fascinated because when you invite people out to events sometimes, you know, you may send out a slew of invitations, but those who are supposed to show up usually do. And we have people from youth services, health services, all types of businesses and services. But pretty much all of them had one thing in common. First of all, look like us, the indigenous people. people, black people, African American, whatever you call yourself. But and the second thing was that they had concrete solutions to our problems. And the majority of the people that was there, and I can't account for everybody what their intentions are, but, you know, for the most part, the people that was involved, especially the ones who are a consistent participant in the National Black Unity News, I say this about them. Their heart is in the right place, you know, because they sincerely wants to help us as a people. Of course, they're business people. They want to promote their products, goods, and services, but at the same time, they have concrete solutions to our consistent problems. And, yes, we even had, you know, the mayor of Baltimore City showed up because she was invited because, not because she's the mayor of Baltimore City, because she also is in the media. You know, back in the day, she ran her own publication. I used to have a publication called The Informer, and my co-publisher at that same particular time had a publication called Fighting Back, and the mayor at that time was, for several years, was running her publication at the same time, and she had the opportunity to speak about black media, and I was somewhat, you know, it was almost like deja vu just listening to her speak about the struggle that she endured when she was publishing, you know, and the dedication that she had to put in to keep that publication going. And to be quite frank with you, too many things change when it comes to publication, because it does take, first of all, it takes dedication. It's extremely difficult to orchestrate quite a few different businesses, newsworthy information, printers, and all other kind of stuff that you had to compile to compose a newspaper. And so I take my hat off to her, and first of all, I appreciate her for showing up, Catherine Pugh, because she informed our participants or our guests at the event yesterday about the importance of having the black media. She explained why it was so important that those who were in attendance, that they participate with the National Black Unity News. And I take my hat off to her because she was very eloquent about it. She was straight to the point about it. But I'm going to elaborate on that just a little bit, you know, extensively, because, you know, I often explain this, especially on these airways. I explain to our listening audience that we own less than 1% of the media. And less than 1%. Now that's an extremely small percentage of media coverage. And not only that, we do have what they may call a National Association of Black Newspapers. And, you know, we pretty much here and there, you know, we kind of localize in various cities. But there's very few papers that covers nationwide. And that's what the National Black Unity does. You know, I know there's a publication, the National, you know, the Nation of Islam put out, and a couple other Muslim publications that cover major cities. But when I'm saying national, we cover, you know, the entire country and beyond. And like I say, you know, our voice is not that strong, but it is strong in a sense, you know, because the National Black Unity News is about us and it's for us, and you know, it's ran by us, and those people that showed up yesterday, especially the editors who, like yourself, Mr. Jai, who've been with us from the inception of the publication, is that, you know, our publication is, when I say the National Black Association of Newspapers, you know, they pretty much, I'm going to say cookie cutter, but they cover their geographical areas, and they could pretty much cover basic local news. But the National Black Unity News is somewhat different. It's a kind of outside the box publication, because we don't cover who shot this person or and calling people out on, you know, political, you know, information and stuff like that. But we cover those type of things. But our publication is designed with this in mind, is to enhance our readers' quality of life with concrete solutions to problems. You know, everybody can talk about problems. You know, we're well aware of our problems. But, you know, we need solutions now. and that's what the National Black Unity News. We have various editors for various categories that they speak from, like Brother Satawi, who runs this particular show here. He covers travel, and they talk about travel. They educate you about travel. And they also not only can help, you know, help you make some money, but they can also most of the time save you money when you participate with them. And it's extremely informative about the information they give. They give you some of the do's and some of the don'ts about travel. And that's pretty much how we operate. All of our editors talk about their particular services, and they give concrete information that can enhance your quality of life. And at the same time, you know, they give vital information that you probably won't get nowhere else, that people will come straight forward to you. And so that's what one of the uniqueness about this publication. And most other publications pretty much survive just straight off of advertisement. Yes, advertisement is extremely important. The mayor hit upon that yesterday. But one thing unique about our publication is a collaboration. It's a collaboration of individual business owners, and each one of those business owners invest in this publication, not just in the publication, but they invest it into themselves as well, because they are promoting themselves at the same time they are helping you. So it's a win-win situation. And so getting back to this event yesterday, I was well pleased because, like I said, who was supposed to be there was there. And I met quite a few new people at that. Usually we had, I'll participate as one or two guests, but we had quite a few. I think our guests outnumbered the editors this time around. And so what that signifies to me is that there's growth. And by me being the publisher of the National Black Unity News, there is growth, that we are growing. We are reaching all over the country and beyond. And people are now participating, with not only financially, but, you know, advertisement participation has gone up. And the we've been in quite a few new editors. And even before this publication came out, you know, some of the new people that was coming aboard, you know, because of the time frame, couldn't get on board in this public, but they would be in the next publication. And I'm proud to say, Brother Satawi, as of yesterday, several of the guests came up to me and said they wanted to participate. So I'm extremely well pleased because they heard the call. And this is, you know, I always say this, you know, we need every man, woman, and child, because this is some serious stuff that's going on in this country. Always have been. But right now it's a little bit more blatant than ever. You know, one time they used to hide behind, you know, one time they hid behind sheets, and the other time they hid behind the pens and everything else. But right now, people are coming out the woodwork. They're straight up about this stuff. People can't even babysit anymore in the streets. People can't do this and do that. I mean, people are calling police on black people just because they're black. Straight up, just because they're black. You know, and so everything is being escalated. And so, therefore, while everything is being escalated, so is the National Black Unity News. And like I say, brother, you know, I am so pleased with the turnout yesterday. I'm so pleased with the response that we got. And I'm still getting calls today where people want to participate with us. And so, brother Satawi, I told you that, you know, I can't spend much time with your listener, but I'll be listening in. And if I can, because I'm going to go into a crowded area, and if I can find me a quiet space, you know, I would definitely listen to the rest of the show. But I can assure you this, my brother that's coming behind me, Brother Cliff, powerful brother. I have an opportunity not only to talk to this brother, but, you know, we are going to be doing some things in the very near future, and I'm associated with them. I'm a member of an organization called the Maryland Council of Elders, and Brother Cliff invited me into this, and I appreciate him for that, and because, like I said, this brother's deep, he's sincere, he paid his dues and still paying them. And I consider him a general in the Army. And so with that being said, Brother Satawi, Brother Cliff, I appreciate you both. Job well done. And Brother Cliff also, since the inception of the publication, have advertisement in the National Black Unity News as well. So, brothers, I appreciate you for all that you do. Keep doing what you're doing, soldiers. And I'm going to say, this is David Murphy. I'm signing up, brother, if you want to, you know, Brother Satawi, if you want to, you know, say, you know, before I sign off, you got any more, you know, questions for me, I'm more than willing to answer, but I'm going to do this before I go. I want to leave my number because we have our publication, our October, November, December issue is out. The hard copy as well as the online copy. And if you want to get a copy or have, you know, brought to your home or your office, you can subscribe to the National Black Unity News at the nationalblackunitynews.com. Or you can call 443-455-2373. That's, again, it's 443-455-2373. Back to you, sir.
All right, Dave. I want to thank you for that update. Yes, it was a great turnout yesterday, and it was very interesting, some of the information that the mayor shared. She talked about my old alma mater, Community College of Baltimore, and she talked about how that people can go there. So, yes, you can. If you're a Baltimore resident and you caught in limbo and you wanted to go to a four-year school, but you didn't have quite what it took to be able to go there, CCB is open to you for free, and you can go there, work on getting your grades to the point that you can be able to attend a four-year university. That was my initial journey. I started there and then ultimately ended up at the University of New Orleans. And so I'm very proud of my old alma mater, and still remember some of the instructors that I had there and how, there were several instructors there that always encouraged me to go on and do more. And so I'm just very, very thankful to see that that institution now is open up to citizens of Baltimore City for free. And she talked about how when there's a murder in the city, that she gets a text directly to her phone so that she knows. So she knows what's going on in the streets. She'd be out in the street. That was very, very encouraging to know that we have a mayor who is not just sitting behind their desk, but is actively out there involved in the community. So, yeah, thank you for that information, David, in terms of yesterday's program and event. And so what we want to do now is we want to move on over here to Brother Cliff, who has a major event coming up in November. And it's a major event. Go ahead and tell our listening audience, Brother Cliff, the name of your event and what it's designed to do and who all of the participants are and all of that kind of good stuff, and then we'll do some Q&A.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Baba Jahi, for inviting me on the show, and I want to thank Baba David Murphy, of course, for what he has also done and what the two of you have done with regard to advancing the cause of Pan-African media. And it's my hope that that I personally and my organization in general will be able to contribute more extensively to the work that the two of you in particular are doing to help keep our community informed about things that are happening locally, nationally, and internationally. The organization that I'm with and I'm the Maryland State Facilitator of is the 6th Region Diaspora Caucus, or SRDC. And it gets that name from what the African Union back in 2003 had proposed to name the community of people of African descent living outside of the continent, or the diaspora. And it was based on their interpretation of there being currently 5 socio-political regions of the African world: North, South, East, West, and Central Africa. And if the diaspora were to be designated as a region, then it wouldn't be one of those 5. So it would be a 6th region. Those people, Africans, people of African descent living outside of the continent. And so our organization was founded back in 2006 to answer what was then known as the African Union Initiative, which is when they essentially invited us to become involved with the African Union, ultimately to achieve the status of voting members in a civil society organization within the African Union. And so we took our name from that effort. And even though our effort actually goes outside of just trying to approach the African Union because of a variety of things that have gone on before and since then, we still are identified as the Six Regions Diaspora Caucus, or SRDC. Every year we have a national, or now it's considered an international, summit. And at that international summit, members of our organization that have been working in various states across the U.S., and right now those states are California, Oregon, Washington State, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Maryland. Those representatives, those delegations from those six states get together every year. And at this summit that we hold on an annual basis, we catch up with each other a little bit. Now, we do this on the phone through teleconferences, but this gives us an opportunity to do so face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball. And you can get a lot more done when you actually sit in a room and meet together than you can necessarily just over the phone. So here we have an opportunity to, first of all, see each other, to improve whatever bonds of comradeship and friendship we have with each other, to share presentations, documentation, those sort of things with each other. But we also bring in organizational allies who operate outside of the United States. We have at least one group in Canada, in Toronto, and they send a representative down who essentially shares the progress that they're making, and in many cases the struggles that they're facing in terms of organizing people of African descent in Canada. We have a couple of people who live in various Caribbean islands. We have one representative in Guadeloupe and another one in the U.S. Virgin Islands. There are affiliated organizations in Central America and in Europe. And then there are other organizations that are a little less closely affiliated with us in the Caribbean and in various other parts of I guess you would say, that area between Europe and Africa or Arabia. There are certain groups in the African continent itself, and we've been in contact with those organizations too, and they often come as honored guests to share where they are in the struggle and to pretty much strategize over the weekend how we're going to strengthen the bonds that we have and to organize our community better so that we can move forward as a global African community and not just a group of pockets of individuals as our people too often tend to behave or act, so that we can have a more unified strategy, a more unified effect on what happens to people of African descent around the world. So our summit this year, our international summit this year, will be in Baltimore, Maryland, or as many of our activists here like to call it, Harriet Tubman City. And that will be on November 16th and 17th of this year at the Great Blacks and Wax Museum on North Avenue, West North Avenue, 1649, East North Avenue, 1649 East North Avenue here in Baltimore, Maryland. It'll be on November 16th and 17th.
Okay, brother. Thank you for that information concerning that event. And what we want to do at this point is take a short commercial break, come back, and then have you share with us some of the preliminary sessions or events or things that will be taking place at that summit, all right?
Wonderful.
Okay. All right. This show is being brought to you by The Vortex. If you're out there listening, you need to get your free Vortex account. You heard me correct. Free. F-R-E-E. Free. What is The Vortex? The Vortex is an online travel booking engine that will save you 85 to 90% of the time when you go to book a hotel, book a resort, stay somewhere, rent a car, saves you on every major travel venue except for airline tickets because those are regulated by the airline industry. And you ain't getting too much of a discount on that. You know, you have to search airlines high and low. And as my sister always told me, the best time to check for flights is late on a Wednesday night. That's another little tip. But the Voitex, what it allows you to do is you're able to go there from the Voitex link that we give out. And that Voitex link is vortex.com/MU Group. MU Group stands for Movements Unlimited Group. It allows you to be able to create a free account. And then when you create that free account, then you're able to do is go back to your Voitex link, open up your account, and be able to go in there and book your travel at no additional cost. There's no fee for using the Voitex. It's absolutely 100%. Shared it with a person the other day. They couldn't believe that there was no fee for the use of the Voitex. So I just used this, and we were sitting at Terra Cafe restaurant, a black-owned restaurant in East Baltimore, and we was going through the account, and then when they saw the difference in the prices, we was checking in hotels in Baltimore, and we came up with a price for a weekend stay, which was like $860, and the savings on the Voitex was $128. He said, "You know, I don't get charged for using this." I said, "No, you don't get charged for using this. It's absolutely free." So please make sure, and not only is it exclusive to use in Baltimore, but all over the world. All over the world, when you go to book a hotel, you use the Voitex or stay at a resort, you're going to save 85 to 90% of the time. So make sure that you go to www.myvoitex365.com/MU Group. Or if you're not able to write that fast, just remember to give me a call at 252-458-3712. And I'll hook you up with your Voitex link so you can start saving on your travel. So with that said, we'll come back to you, Brother Cliff. And we do have a couple people, other people that's listening in. And then, you know, let you share what the workshop sessions that's going to be covered at the 6th annual event that's going to be held here in Baltimore in November, I believe you said 16th and 17th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so what are some of the issues y'all going to discuss at that summit?
Okay. Well, I guess before I get into those, I just want to mention some of the different organizations that are going to be working with us to bring this summit together. It is primarily the summit of the Six Region Diaspora Caucus, but there are a number of organizations that are assisting us in one way or another, either with guidance or with organizing or with setting a lot of the agenda as far as what it is we're going to be dealing with. First and foremost is the Maryland Council of Elders, which Brother David Murphy had mentioned as he was signing off. And he is a member of the Maryland Council of Elders. This is an organization that was officially seated in December, January of this past year. And they have been increasingly involved in hosting a number of the Pan-African town halls that we've had on the local level at Arch Social Club here in Baltimore. Another one is a local political organization called the Ujima People's Progress Party, and they are committed to establishing a black worker-led political party, independent political party in the state of Maryland. There's also our Victoria City, which is was dedicated to the memory of Brother Victorious Swift, who unfortunately lost his life a year and a half ago. But he was a very strong young activist in the Baltimore area. There's also the Teaching Artists Institute. A sister named Kim Poole founded that organization 3 years ago, and they are committed to pursuing the concept of art for social transformation. She's been traveling all over the place. As a matter of fact, she's in Africa right now, and she's making connections on the cultural level with a number of African governments and organizations of grassroots people on the ground. There's also, of course, the National Black Unity News, which, of course, yourself and Baba David Murphy are involved with and are doing tremendous work in, again, helping to further the knowledge base and the knowledge of current events of our people. There are a number of members of the Maryland Council of Elders are members of the All African People's Revolutionary Party. So there is a good deal of I would say, energy that is coming from that particular organization through those Council of Elders members. And then there are two international organizations that are involved. And one of them is a currently active one, and it is affiliated with the United Nations. There are a number of individuals in that are working with us, and they are connected to the working group of experts on people of African descent. So at the current time, we are more or less in the middle of the United Nations International Decade for People of African Descent. It goes from January 2015 to December 2024. And there are a number of programs that of several grassroots on the ground activists are pursuing and pushing the United Nations to increase and improve their involvement with. And then the final one is a global super coalition of organizations that SRDC had been involved in the early days of back in 2009, and that group is called the Pan African Diaspora Union, and it was originally set up as a super coalition between SRDC, UNIA, and a number of other organizations, and it had kind of gone inactive for the last few years, but this year we're working on resuscitating that organization fully and essentially allowing it to spread its wings more on an international level, based on the concept of unity without uniformity, forming cooperative coalition type united front organizations instead of what too often happens with our organizations. When they come together, they start competing, they start fighting, and then any effort to bring our people together falls apart because we haven't learned how to be cooperative with each other yet. So that's one of the things that we're working on as far as building a global coalition. As far as the summit itself, there are, again, it's going to be on Friday, November 16th and Saturday, November 17th. There's actually an organizational meeting that will happen on Sunday, the 18th, but that's generally one where the members of the organization sit around a table and kind of strategize how they're going to move forward from this time up until next year's summit. But usually on Friday, What we have scheduled for Friday, November 16th, is primarily where we provide an introduction to the organization. We talk a little bit about SRDC's history, a little bit about our mission, and a good bit will involve the individual states giving their reports. And a lot of that is sort of an internal thing, but it's available to people in the general public to come and check out if they want to get to know the organization at that level better. One of the reasons why that is held on Friday and not Saturday is because Saturday, we know, is going to be an easier day for a lot of people to attend. And so a number of the big public panels or public forums that we figure people will be more interested in than just the nuts and bolts of the organization, we'll have those things happen on Saturday. And toward that end, on Saturday, I think we're going to have three panels. One panel is going to talk about the commonality of our global struggle as African people. There is a tendency that we have to think that what happens to us in the United States has nothing to do with what happens to us in the Caribbean, South America, Europe, Asia, or Africa. A lot of us think that that our struggle in terms of enslavement through what we refer to as the Ma'afa is so unique that no one else could possibly even relate to it. And as was revealed to me years ago by a sister who is an on-the-ground activist in the continent of Africa, while we were enslaved here, our brothers and sisters in the continent were enslaved there. While we were taken away from Africa into Arabia and the Americas, our brothers and sisters on the continent were internally displaced, and they were thrown into forced labor camps, in particular in places like the Congo, which had been made a personal, basically a large personal possession of King Leopold II of Belgium. And African people were also enslaved. While we were stripped of much of who we were and who we connected with in terms of our African roots, so were our brothers and sisters on the continent, where many of them don't even understand the history that's right there under their feet. So as a result of that, you see how we suffer from so many different things everywhere around the world. We suffer from political instability, environmental racism, incarceration, police brutality. There are so many things that impact upon African people everywhere around the world: Europe, South America, the Caribbean, Central America, North America, Africa, Asia, everywhere. And too many of us fail to make that connection. So we're kind of starting off with a discussion of really how our experiences are not as unique as we like, as we perhaps like to think. And then there will be a number of people who will be on that panel who will also kind of discuss their specific perspectives in that regard. We also have a panel on building a Pan-African media collective, which we're hoping that that yourself and Baba David Murphy will be able to come and participate with, where we're going to talk about efforts to bring our print journalists together with our internet and blog talk radio journalists together with independent journalists and journalists on radio and television that have an independent Pan-African focus, and to create, I'd say, a global entity that can do a more effective job of ensuring that our people, wherever we are around the world, have a better understanding of current events, how they impact us as a people, and also the history behind those current events that kind of serves as a unifying force behind everything. So we'll understand why things are happening to us that happen to us. The third panel is going to concentrate a little bit on the international organizations, because our general theme is let's go together, taking global Africans to the world stage. So once we become organized as a people, or we've made the moves to become organized as a people, then we have to be able to take our issues and our ideas away from just dealing with our local and national politicians. Malcolm X told us 55 years ago we needed to stop taking our case from the wolf to the fox, that we needed to be able to take our issues with Uncle Sam outside of just United States courts. And the recent confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh shows you politically where the United States is moving. And if we were to simply take our grievances through the typical United States political law enforcement and court systems, we're not going to get very far. However, if we are able to take those grievances, those issues, and even some of our ideas for how we can solve these grievances and issues outside of the United States to the world stage, to organizations like the African Union or the United Nations or the Pan-African Federalist Movement or other international Pan-African organizations, then we have a better chance of at least creating the kind of international pressure which might either change the hearts of some of the politicians in the United States who seem to want to do us harm, or to at least create options for us outside of the United States if we want to repatriate back to Africa or move somewhere else in the world. So a lot of those are the three panels, and then after that we would have a plenary session with a number of guest speakers. We hope to have someone from the African Union Mission come up. We hope to have someone from the African Union's Economic, Social, and Cultural Council come. We hope to have someone from the United Nations Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent. And I spoke to the North American Regional Initiating Coordinator of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and he intends to come down from New York where he is. So we'll have those individuals who will speak, and then a number of our international allies from various organizations on the ground in the Caribbean, in Europe, and hopefully in Central America, who will be able to come and then pretty much, I guess you would say, confirm and complete our theme, which again is let's go together, bringing global Africans to the world stage, because we can take our complaints to the world stage if we want to, but if we're not together when we do it, then number one, the world stage isn't going to listen to us. And number two, even if they did listen to us, we wouldn't have the force that we need to be able to make a lot of these things happen that we want to see happen for our people.
Okay. Thank you very much for that information and that update. What we're going to do is we're going to, at this point, go to the phone lines and see if we have anybody that is listening that has any questions for you, all right?
Okay, great.
Yeah, man, definitely. Exactly.
All right. I believe 843-4853. This brother, Ed.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. You have any questions for our guest?
No, actually, I'm kind of working right now, so I'm kind of listening when I can.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you if you're listening.
Thank you.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to turn this. How long do you think it's going to take for that to charge up?
Okay, back to you, Brother Cliff. So what do people need to do if they want to register for the event?
Well, the first of all, if they want to come, of course, they have to be here. And we are in Baltimore, Maryland, or as many of us like to call it, Harriet Tubman City, on the weekend of November 16th and 17th. It will be, again, at the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum on 1649 East North Avenue. And if they want to attend the summit, really all they have to do is be here. If they want to find out more information in particular, if they want to, I guess, set up a situation where, for instance, we can stay in contact with each other, then there are a couple of ways that we can do that. They can email me. I'm the Maryland State Facilitator of the organization. And we also have a website. SRDC has a website that the people can go to. They can check out and they can get a little bit more information on the organization. And it's about due for me to put some more information on there. So I should be adding something to the site pretty shortly. It's not a by blow news of the day type of a site, but when significant things happen in the community, then we'll be putting those things on the website. So the site, which is srdcinternational.org, that site is up and it will be it'll be available for people to check out information on the organization and updates on the progress toward the summit will be put on that site probably in the next day or so. If they want to reach me to find out more information about the summit, then they can email me, and my email address is Cliff, that's C-L-I-F-F as in Frank, at Kuumba, K-U-U-M-B-A, report.com. And Kuumba Report was a newsletter I did for 14 years from 1997 to 2011. And shortly before I stopped writing the newsletter because I ran out of money. And so I understand what of course, you and Baba David Murphy are dealing with as far as expenses of putting out a print publication, although yours is much bigger than mine. So certainly you have a much larger challenge than I did. But I also had an internet radio show on Harambe Radio for a while. And that was I did that for 6 years. And after a while, the plate just got a little too full. So I had to stop doing that. But that's pretty much where that website comes from. When I stopped doing the radio show a little while after that, then I put together the website where I essentially try to do a lot of the things that I was no longer able to do in the newsletter. So Cliff at KuumbaReport.com is the email. People can write there and find out a little bit more information. I can arrange to send them more detailed information on SRDC, the organization, especially if they have any interest in perhaps starting such an effort where they are, especially if they're like in a state where we don't have an organization. Like we don't have an organization in Washington, D.C. We don't have an organization in Virginia. We don't have an organization in Pennsylvania or in New Jersey or Delaware. These are states that are in the vicinity of the state of Maryland. And part of the reason why we don't have organizations there is because if you want to start an organization there, first of all, you have to be a resident of that state. A person who is a resident of that state would actually begin a chapter of that organization there. They would essentially become the facilitator of that state chapter of the organization. And the reason for that is to ensure that the leadership that helps put together that state organization, of course, comes from that state, that they're not coming from outside where perhaps people don't quite understand all the issues that impact the community in that state. So that's actually part of what's in our organizational constitution, that state chapters have to be formed by people within those states. And then what people such as myself do, we'll go to somewhere like Pennsylvania or to D.C. or to Virginia, and if we find someone who is attempting to organize our people, then we propose to them the idea of developing a chapter of SRDC where they are. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't, because a lot of times people have their own ideas as far as what it is that they want to do, and they don't necessarily want to implement someone else's. And I understand the desire to do that, but at the same time, it becomes difficult to develop a global unified force if everybody is just scattered, shot, and going in their own direction. It's sort of like the whole stay in your lane idea. Stay in your lane works very well when we're talking about my not telling you how to handle your own business. But at a certain point, if those lanes don't converge, we don't go anywhere as a people. So that's one of the things is as far as developing that organization on the local level, on the state level, and then bringing them together. And so that's basically what we've been working on doing as far as organizing our people on the ground. And sometimes it's a challenge.
I can only imagine. Switching the subject some here a little bit. What do you think about, you know, our people, they're into like celebrity worship. What do you think about Kanye West's most recent tirades around slavery and visit number 45, President Trump.
Yeah. Well, he's a curious fellow to me, and of course, it seems as though he has moved a ways away from his statement about 10 years ago, where he said, well, it was a little more than 10 years, about 12 years ago, when he said George Bush doesn't like black people. And that was because of largely because of Bush's completely ineffectual response to the disaster that happened in New Orleans around Hurricane Katrina. Now, since then, we now have 45 in the White House. His response with regard to Puerto Rico, where there are a lot of Afro-Puerto Ricans who live there, who are technically U.S. citizens. Puerto Rico is not a state, but it's a U.S. territory. And his completely ineffectual, inept, and some people would say heartless responses to the people of Puerto Rico, one would have thought might have elicited a similar comment from Mr. West, but it did not. And it seems as though perhaps he's engaged in a little hero worship. He was acting as though Trump represented perhaps the father that it sounded like he was saying that Trump represented the father he never had, or someone that he could play catch with, or someone who made him feel like a superhero. And to me, that is, first of all, that's emblematic to me of the malady that a number of us suffer from, and that is we have an almost self-centered perspective in terms of how we assess political leaders. I remember years ago there was someone who thought that black people should vote a certain way because he personally was better off than he had been 4 years prior as a result of this politician he was backing. And it almost sounds as though Kanye West is saying that he thinks that we should support Donald Trump because somehow or another Donald Trump makes him feel better. And to me, that's a selfish way to look at a political situation. There have been times when I was doing better under a right-wing reactionary president or governor or even mayor than I was under that person's predecessor. But when I looked around and saw the condition of our people in general and saw how either the city, the state, or the country was falling apart and people's lives were being endangered and their rights are being violated, there'd be no way I'd be able to turn around and say, I like this particular head of state or this particular political official because I personally am doing better. If I want to be a leader of my people, and I don't aspire to be a leader of my people, by the way, but if I did, or if I wanted to be an influence broker among people of African descent, such a selfish way of looking at the political situation really should invalidate me from being able to lead anyone. So while some people say that Kanye was off his meds, when he went on his most recent rant, his most recent pro-Trump rants on Saturday Night Live and in the Oval Office, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I don't consider him to be someone who I would look to for political advice, mainly because it appears that he's not paying attention. He's not paying attention to whatever you may feel about the whole immigration issue. He's not paying attention to children being put in cages. He's not paying attention to the devastation of Puerto Rico, which is still continuing today, and the 2,975 deaths that have been documented in Puerto Rico being something that he rejects out of hand. They're not paying attention to his pulling the United States first out of the Paris Accord on climate change earlier this year, and now out of the Human Rights Council. They're not paying attention to things like that. They're not even paying attention to statements that he has made on the campaign trail. People who have said that the press was the enemy of the people have almost to a person turned around and implemented a totalitarian form of government in the countries where they are. I mean, that's a Hitler move. That's a Duterte move. That's a Putin move. Of course, now he likes Duterte. He likes Putin. He likes the Saudi royal family, who's now been implicated in the torture and murder of this Washington Post journalist in the Saudi embassy in Turkey. So to say that one is a political backer of someone who either allows or enables or causes injustices like this to happen locally, nationally, and internationally, like I said, I just think it would invalidate one from being able to claim a position of leadership. And maybe he's doing this because he saw so many other people do it. He saw Steve Harvey do it just before the inauguration. He saw Jim Brown and Ray Lewis do it. As a matter of fact, Jim Brown was sitting next to him in last week's rant in the Oval Office. So he has seen a number of prominent celebrities of African descent sitting there ready to essentially constructively engage with the current president. And maybe that's why he feels that he should join in and he should endorse him as well. I don't know. I'm not his psychologist or his psychiatrist or his whoever's in charge of his medications that he supposedly says he's no longer on. So I can't assess what his personal mental or physical condition is. All I can say is that I don't think that someone who makes the kinds of statements that he is currently making really has much of a claim to leadership or role model status among people of African descent, at least not those of us who are striving for truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, balance, essential principles of the ancient African moral doctrine of Ma'at. I just don't see it.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Yeah, I mean, I have some serious problems with, you know, some of the things that he had said, you know, especially when he was saying that he made the statement that if Trump looks bad, then we look bad. You know, and so it's just important that, you know, that we take a critical stance when it comes to holding these quote-unquote celebrities accountable. I remember back in the day when people would take a certain stance, and H.R.A.P. Brown would say, you know, hey, go out, you know, he was talking about athletes at the time, if you go out and break their legs, now that doesn't suggest anybody bring any kind of physical harm to Kanye. I don't want nobody to say, you know, we threatened him on his airways. But, you know, if you did something to him that would make him inaccessible to the masses in terms of things that he do and things that he say, then that would be a form of, quote-unquote, reciprocity. But, I mean, I remember when we did the Black Power conferences back in the 60s, and, you know, H.R.A.P. was there, and he told the media people, he says, look, he says, we ain't invited y'all here to cover this. He says, y'all got 5 minutes to get y'all cameras and all that stuff and get out of here. He says, other than that, you ain't out of here in 5 minutes. He says, I'm going to tell the brothers they can grab y'all stuff and take it to the pawn shop. You know, so I mean, we need to know how to take a stance when it comes to these quote unquote celebrities that quote unquote want to represent us. I mean, it's sort of like Malcolm said. He said, you know, they take a celebrity, put a mic in front of them, and so, you know, so it's just that we need to have a critical eye and a critical listening ear as these people want to say things and attempt to speak for us, because everybody wants to speak for us, and take away our coochie child to live as opposed to allowing us to be able to speak for ourselves. And that's very, very important that we maintain that right to be able to speak for ourselves. Self-determination.
Thing I was going to say about that is I think that's another example, though, of why we need that strong Pan-African media. Number one, to put those voices that will counter the things that the uninformed things that Kanye West says, that will counter those things, and also to correct part of the problem that Kanye West and others like him have. And this is something that Chicago activist Fred Hampton Jr., the son of course, venerable Pan-African ancestor and Panther Fred Hampton, said, was that black people too often speak French in the wrong place, saying we. And it's almost like the whole house Negro, field Negro thing where Malcolm was talking about. He said, what's wrong, master? We sit. So to say that when Kanye says that Trump is making us look bad, that Trump is making America look bad, and it's up to the Pan-African organizations and the Pan-African media to ensure that Pan-African America maintains a level of ma'atik, I guess you would say, commitment and orientation, so that our people don't get pulled into a lot of the dysfunction that people such as 45 are pulling the United States of America into. And hopefully that's one of the things, again, that we will be discussing at the summit on November 16th and 17th.
Okay. Thank you so much. You know we're going to need to have you back on here again, so we'll figure out when we can do that. I want to thank you for sharing information about the summit today to our listening audience. And people can always go back and re-listen to today's podcast. It'll be archived in the Home-Based Business 101 page, and people can be able to pull that up at any point in given time to hear what we talked about today, and continue to listen to Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Truly listener-supported radio, because if you didn't listen to our shows, hey, then we wouldn't have over 47,000 people tuned into a show here on Home-Based Business 101. We want to thank those that tuned in today. We want to thank all of our supporters. And remember to make sure that you go and create that free Vortex account. If you tuned in late and don't know what I'm talking about, just give me a call at 252-458-3712 so that you can get your free Vortex account, which will save you on your travel. What we're going to do right now is we're going to close out with our theme song called It's My Time. And remember, it is our time. All right. God bless. Thank you for tuning in. Up.
Thank you.